talking about. Let's get her rolling here. Great job, John Hanson, Esmeralda. Just driving in, enjoying the show. And now Esmeralda's still working. I was thinking you were going home. I'm like, I'm gonna miss my Esmeralda, but you're still here.
I'll be here with you the whole time.
My name is Mark Carmen, filling in for Patty Vasquez. Pretty late off tonight. Patty's back later in the week. Cassara, who only goes by Cassara, is producing, a.k.a. Beyonce Cassara. There is no last name. Hi, Cassara. How are you? Cannot hear. Now we got
I'm well. How are you?
Well,
there we go.
Welcome. Great to work with you. And
same here.
Rob Martier, what's going on, man? Merry.
Yeah, merry to you, too.
So here, I wanted to start the show. We got a lot to do tonight. I'm actually in for Patty and in for Nick. So this is 6 hours of Carmen, which I think is actually the maximum amount of Carmen you could ever possibly have. No one in my family has ever really hung out with me for 6 hours straight. Certainly no girlfriends have ever gone 6 hours straight. My friends wouldn't go 6 hours straight. So I really feel privileged that WGN management, Todd Manley, Stephanie Menendez, has enough confidence in me to do 6 hours in a row. Martir, what do you think about the 6 hour thing?
I was going to say, are we in violation of some sort of FCC rules,
I mean,
allowing you to be on for six straight hours?
It does seem like a bad idea, right?
No, I'm not saying a bad idea.
Esmeralda?
Yeah, 6 straight hours.
Bad idea?
I think you can do it.
I mean, it's a good idea
in theory.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I saw the schedule, I'm like, I'm scheduled on both shifts here. Is this correct? I'd love to do it, but I just want to make sure that indeed is the plan. And I got the text back. That indeed is the plan. So this is the plan. So I feel privileged, and I do feel, I guess, a little bit nervous and scared that, you know, to do this for 6 hours. I've never gone 6 hours. It's a first. So, all right, enough with that. We're going to talk to, we're going to have a really important story, I would say, and just a life story coming up at 11:35. Reese Felderman, she's 3 years old. Perhaps it's the diagnosis is not official, but perhaps has a form of leukemia, juvenile myelomonocytic. I hope I'm pronouncing that remotely correct. Leukemia. Her father's going to join us as they're having a fundraiser. They're looking for donors on Thursday afternoon, which is coming quickly. I'm actually going to go out myself and participate. So we'll do that at 11:35. But I wanted to start here. It's the day after Christmas, right? And everybody was with their family or their friends or avoided and just didn't come and show, period. Us Jewish people, we got to find something to do on Christmas, so we do our own holiday thing, maybe without the tree, but we do something. And I think, like, the day after, there's, like, an adjustment to, okay, now we've got to sort of move forward, and what's on my plate that I want to do in 2018, and oh, I should start thinking about my New Year's resolutions. And then there's also the whole part of, like, ooh, I was just with my family, and yes, I still hate my sister, or I still can't stand my brother, or yes, my mom drinks way too much on Christmas and it's hard to be around her, or my dad still falls asleep 5 seconds in and I can't even connect with him at all. And I'm really honestly looking for stories at 312-981-7200 of people who just had a terrible Christmas, or a below average Christmas, and would like to share and get it off their chest. And maybe we can, like, create a vision for a better one next year. So along those lines, Martier, how'd it go for you yesterday?
Not bad.
Not bad.
It was solid. Actually went to Kaufman's in Skokie to pick up bagels Christmas morning. Which was nice.
That's aggressive by you, Martier.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you had that in you. That's big.
No. You got to get them fresh, man. You can't let them sit around.
I was there. I was at New York Bagel on Tui. It was packed.
But my letdown was this morning. I mean, yesterday was fine. Had a good time. Kids, you know, family, the whole thing. And then today I felt like, man, I needed another day off.
Right?
And I had to come in today to work.
It's incredible how much you feel like, engaging on the 26th and getting yourself moving. I swear it's like the hardest day of the year to get going.
Yeah.
It was just Christmas and it's cold outside and we love our city, but you always, at least for myself, this time of year, I always question, why do I live here? Why do I make this choice to get up and be and have my back shrink into nothingness as it's 1 degree outside? And it's just, you don't want to do anything. But yet, the clock is ticking, man. Let's move forward. Shows need to go on. Esmeralda's doing all-night traffic. She's yawning like, I mean, like I've never seen Esmeralda yawn. And is going to host a big-time show, 7 to 11. So, you know, how was your Christmas, Esmeralda? Did it go well?
Mine went very well. I did host Christmas Eve.
Okay.
I was in for Dave Plyer. Christmas Eve, 2 to 5 a.m. Sunday morning.
So you got off at 5 a.m. on Christmas.
Yes. And then I got some sort of weird flu for a few hours.
The weird flu hit me today.
Yeah, I had the chills and a fever, and then I just slept all day, and it was fine. And then Christmas Day went with the family to mine and the boyfriend's. And that was lovely.
So you did a split double-double.
We did, yes. And then I went to work.
Whose was better? Don't lie. Where were you more comfortable?
I was more comfortable at my house.
Okay, I mean, sometimes...
It's my family. I'm usually very apprehensive to bring people over to my family because I find them, like, they're weirdos. But my boyfriend seems to think they're hilarious and nice people, so...
So that's what that's what I'm saying. Like, that could actually, like, going to your boyfriend's, it's just you and you handle yourself. But when you bring them into the family... You have to worry what's going to happen. Are they going to say something that's going to be offensive? Is he going to want to run out the room? All that type of stuff.
I think it's more in my head than his.
Right.
He'd probably be, whatever they do or say, he'd probably be understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, ooh, I can't believe they're the worst. And no, they were laughing and all together, and there is a language barrier, and that still, it didn't stop anybody. It was very copacetic.
So your boyfriend's an amazing person.
He is.
He's like a boy.
No, he is. It's very nice, and his family is wonderful, too. They're all lovely people.
Heavy drinking, no drinking, what are we talking about?
There was some drinking for them. I had to work later on, so I didn't want to imbibe. But there's a couple cocktails.
Right, Martyr, drinking?
Heavy.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Can you get through a family gathering without a heavy?
I can. I hit it hard when we got home last night.
Okay.
You know, just pulled out the big bottle of Makers, started going at it.
Yeah. And you weren't going to get cheated.
No. It was good.
Yeah, no, I get it. But see, I think, like, sometimes you got to go Makers just to make it through, at least for some people, a family gathering. You don't know what's going on or where it's going to come from, so it kind of soothes the old soul, if you will.
It does take the edge off.
Right, right. Kassara, your thoughts on your Christmas? Was it all right?
It was actually probably one of the best ones that we've had since I was like a kid and still could believe in Santa Claus, so yeah.
Why was it the best?
I mean, my entire family was there. We got good news, like, a couple days before that my grandpa was cancer-free.
Oh, well, congratulations.
I was a little scared. Thank you.
That's awesome.
I got some really great gifts. I'm sporting some of them tonight.
Is that Bulls hat fresh?
New? No, this is last year's Christmas, but the hoodie is fresh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun, and then I came here and worked last night, and then got up this morning and went after Christmas Day shopping.
So you guys are all boring. You all had good Christmases. Y'all had a good time.
This one worked out. I usually don't. They're usually kind of like,
can you remember the worst thing that's ever happened?
No, it's just people, you know, people get a little too tipsy. People talk too much.
Right. Politics comes
flying. No, it's not even politics. It's just their old drunken selves.
Right.
And it's like, ugh.
Right.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, how was your Christmas? Did you have a horrible Christmas story that you wanted to tell us?
Well, so, you know, thank you for asking that, Kassara. I appreciate that. Let's bring it back to me here. I went to my girlfriend's and we had a lovely time. I think, like, when I look at Christmas, like, it's never... My family's never really done anything. And so I was feeling like, when I look back at it, nobody in my family called, no Mary, I didn't call anyone. It just feels like it was just like a big, just a gaping hole in the Carmen family that next year, no matter what's going on, I'm making phone calls. I'm getting in there. I'm wishing, I'm going big time. going to call Brother Dave, Brother Bruce, get the niece on the line, make things right. I felt like there was just an emptiness in the Carmen family. Anybody relate to that? Can anybody relate to not making phone calls on the old holiday?
Well, I want to ask you, though, Mark.
Yeah.
So you're Jewish, and is your girlfriend of the Christian faith?
No, she's also of the Jewish faith.
Okay. All right, well, then do you still want to celebrate Christmas?
Well, wait, see, this is the thing. It's like is it not the biggest holiday of the year? Thanksgiving, Christmas, which one would you say? I mean, maybe Thanksgiving's bigger, but it's a 1 and 1A, right?
Yeah.
So you're still, even if you're not, quote unquote, like, celebrating Christmas, it's still a day that just feels very family, no matter whatever the faith is. So I think for a lot of Jewish people, actually, it just, you feel sort of like left out. And you're just not a part of it, and you have to create your own deal, which is why we numb out and go to movies and eat Chinese food and do all that, which is cool, by the way. But there, you still, I think, want that family touch on the old December 25.
I get it.
So
I get it.
I think that's where I'm at. And I also just look at, you know, at least for me, when I'm sitting at a big family dinner, it is not easy. It just isn't. Like, are you having a good time? Who's angry with my father over here? Who wants to kill my brother over there? What are people thinking about me? I need some family guidance here, Martyr. It's just not, you know, I could go with the maker's route, and sometimes I do, but I'm trying to also be like Mr. Sober Guy and like, let's start having like real conversations with the old family on the holidays, which is super scary, right? Esmeralda looks like she's crawling under the table right now.
You don't do real conversations.
Can't do real?
Holidays.
Why can't you go real?
Well, define real conversation. What do you want to talk about? I mean, do you want to try to clear up some family issues, or
sure.
Do you want to just have a substantial conversation?
How about just like everybody go around the room, like, what are you thankful for? That type of thing.
We do that.
You know, something real.
That's safe.
That's safe, but it's also, I mean, people, you know, they get a little, it's you're still asking for something more than the standard conversation if you go there, right?
Possibly. I mean, if they take it there, though.
Right.
Because you have to remember, like, you're scared, but they're probably just as scared when you tell them to go around the circle.
Of course. I mean, normally what happens in those situations, it's a little kid at the table, like, who will say something real innocent, and then all the adults are just like, oh, God, I don't want to do that. That's now you're asking me what's going on inside me. I want nothing to do with it. And I guess I'm looking for a little bit more of that, Martyr. That's all.
It's all right. I mean, I get it. I mean, you can only go superficial for so long.
Right.
And you just kind of run out of stuff.
Maybe I should just hang out in the newsroom more and we can go deep. Have some conversations.
I don't know if you're ready for the type of conversations we have up here.
I do see what goes on in there.
Uh-huh.
You and Adam Phillips.
It's pretty intense.
I mean, that's a crew in there.
Solving all the problems of the world.
Right.
One step at a time.
When Aubrey stops by, come on now.
That's when it gets crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today, 312-981-7200. Looking for some holiday stories, holiday connections, something special that might have happened on your Christmas that perhaps you'd like to share on 720 WGN. Great idea. Come out, see Patty on New Year's Eve. Live that dream. Great tune here. Heard it a couple times. Esmeralda, you know the name of this song?
Oh, yeah, No Diggity.
Is it really called No Diggity?
Mm-hmm.
That is the name of it, by Blackstreet and Dr. Dre.
That's big time. You know what, you know the movie Hustle and Flow?
Yeah, Maine.
They Esmeralda, you like Hustle and Flow?
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I have not seen it. I remember it won awards.
Come on, Maine.
Great, great film. And NBA guys were talking about it, and the Whoop That Trick.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. One of the great tunes. And they were remembering Whoop That Trick, like, and they were saying, what movie is that from? What movie is that from? And I'm sitting there in the corner like, it's Hustle and Flow. Come on. And then they got it. Hustle and Flow. And I don't know why that why that brings a smile to my face, but it just does. Hustle Flow, underrated, solid film. Hey, we're going to have a special guest coming up here right after the 11:30 news. I want to do a quick trivia question. 312-981-7200. I'll give you Lou Malnati's. What is the most important thing you can have in your life? What is the most important thing you can have in your life? It's a very simple answer. There is a correct answer. This is not subjective. 312-981-7200. What is the most important thing you can have in your life? As we get ready for our big guest here coming up at 11:30 and talking about a story in the Chicago Tribune, which was written by Dan Dorfman, who I've known for quite a while, and it says, Drive seeks possible bone marrow donor for child. And as he writes it just a few weeks ago, life for Jennifer Felderman and her family seems so right. Felderman and her husband Chris were settling into a new home in Winnetka. Their three girls, Reese, Quinn, and Claire, all appeared happy. The family had gone to the Chicago Botanic Gardens to see Santa on December the 9th. But everything changed the next day when the Feldermans received news that Reese, 3 years old, may be fighting juvenile myelomonocytic leukemia, JMML, a rare form of leukemia. What is the most important thing you can have in life? 312-981-7200. This is not a trick question. I think the answer is very, very easy. Joe, what's the most important thing you can have in your life?
Am I on?
Yes, you are on, Joe.
I heard the ding there. It's got to be friends.
Friends is a great answer, but is not the correct answer. Joe, I appreciate you calling. Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Same to you. Adios.
Back to you. What is the most important thing you can have in your life? I don't even think that there is a question about this, although there are a lot of great answers out there. Most important thing you can have in your life. Lori, what do you got?
Love.
Love is a huge thing, and I love that you called, Lori, but not the answer. Not the answer I'm looking for. Merry Christmas, Lori. Happy holidays.
Thanks.
You got it. 312-981-7200. The most important thing you can have in your life. Leonard, welcome to WGN.
Your health.
Damn straight, Leonard. It ain't money. You can always, if you don't have any friends, you can go find some friends. If you don't have love right now, you can go create it. But if you don't have your health, man, you are in a bad, bad way. Your health, number one. Told me I could win the lottery and have gazillions of dollars, that'd be sweet. But if you told me I could live forever and be healthy, I'd take that and no dough. That's what I'm looking for, Leonard. Just a little reminder here. No matter how bad it gets for you, whatever challenges are going on, your health is huge, the biggest, and just be ever thankful that you have it. I certainly am reminding myself that at the same moment. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen, filling in for Patty Vasquez tonight, pretty late. We'll return, of course, later in the week. Touching story today that I saw in the Chicago Tribune, written by Daniel Dorfman. The headline was, Drive Seeks Possible Bone Marrow Donor for Child. And the child is 3 years old. Her name is Reese Felderman. And we have her father on the line right now, Chris, who did not know that his daughter needed potentially some help until very, very recently, as they were at the Botanic Gardens on December 9th to go see Santa Claus. And now there is a donor drive this coming Thursday at Sacred Heart Parish Center in Winnetka. So we want to get the word out and bring Chris on. Chris, this is obviously a very, very challenging time for your family and for you personally. I guess, you know, just to start out here, how are you getting through each day and trying to, you know, move forward and do what's best for your daughter, who you know, obviously care so much about?
Right. Well, right now we're just taking it one day at a time. We are waiting for the full diagnosis, but what the doctors have been telling us is that the highest likelihood right now is JMML, and they're just waiting for some additional tests to be returned so they can rule out other potential options. So, you know, rather than wait around ourselves for that, we are being proactive to see if we can find a donor for our little Reese. But, you know, we tried our best to enjoy the Christmas holiday. We spent some time here with family, and we've got some family coming into town over the next couple of days to spend some time with us and just make it as happy and, you know, just try to take everyone's mind off it while we wait for these results to come in before we figure out what our plan is going to be going forward.
And tell us, how did you realize that something was wrong?
Well, so we, I was actually leaving town for a business trip a couple Mondays ago and wanted to see my kids off to school in the morning before I went to the airport to catch my flight. And when we went to wake our twins up, Reese was unable to even get out of her bed because she said, she just said it hurt and she had a fever and, you know, she was sweating. And when we tried to help her out of bed, she was shaking and could not stand on her own. She just kept saying, it hurts, it hurts. So my wife and I kind of looked at each other and thought, this is strange. And, my wife Jen proceeded to take Reese to the hospital while I stayed back with the other two kids. And, you know, that's when we got word a few hours later after the blood results came back that they took some tests, and when the results came back, they indicated that it was potentially a leukemia or a similar blood disorder, and we needed to get to Lurie's as quickly as possible. So we went there immediately and spent the next 5 days getting tested at Lurie's, and left there on the fifth day, really not knowing for sure what it was, and that was you know, almost 10 days ago, and we're still trying to figure out what is going on so we can come up with that plan.
Yeah, and this is obviously a parent's worst nightmare, your beloved daughter and twins. It's, you know, I'm just trying to gain the whole picture here. You have one twin who's healthy and another who is not right now, and you have to keep, like, everything together. Like, does Reese understand what's going on? How do you even tackle that? It just seems like such a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all so young right now that there's no way that they can understand. I mean, we were in the hospital, like I said, for 5 days, and you know, the constant checking of vitals and taking of blood was very taxing on her, but the doctors were really good to you know, to make sure she was comfortable, and we had friends and family that were sending packets to keep her busy during the day, and quite frankly, because she is a twin, she hasn't really ever gotten to spend a lot of time with mom and dad without her twin sister being there, so I think she took comfort in the fact that she got us to herself. But the way that we make sense of it is, you know, it's just, I don't even know, to be honest. We're, like I said, taking it one day at a time, and we're just really trying to focus on our family and keeping everyone busy. And a lot of the people in the village that we live in have been sending care packets and just little activities for the girls to complete, you know, to pass the days. And, you know, there are three kids that we have, and they're all 3.5 or younger, so they keep us busy, and that helps take our mind off of things. And Jen and I basically take turns finding some time to ourselves to sort of unleash the emotions that we have so that we can be there for our kids,
right,
throughout the day when we need to be. That's probably the hardest part.
Right. And that's, you gotta get expressed, right? I think that's, are you reaching out for support from people that have been in this type of situation? Cause I know there can't be any, like, blueprint on how to do something like this, but there's also a community out there that have, you know, have children who have gone through this. I would think that you'd want to lean on some people that have sort of been through it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we haven't gone down that path. We've gotten the names of a few people, but we want to make sure that, you know, we want to get this diagnosis back. Whether we like it or not, I think we've become advocates for childhood cancer and leukemia specifically. I don't think anyone ever wants that to be thrust upon them. But, you know, should we need to go down that path, we've definitely got some names that we will reach out to. And then just people in our neighborhood have been very, very supportive and helping us out to the best that they can while we await these results. But to be specific, no, we have not taken those steps to reach out to those families. We're kind of preparing ourselves for that mentally, but we're waiting to get that diagnosis before we take those steps.
Yeah, and the donor drive is coming up, but it's this Thursday, correct, at Sacred Heart Parish Center in Winnetka, and you're looking for a bone marrow match for Reese. What? So, I guess just specifically, you know, who are you hope? I guess anybody can show up, right? You just don't know if you're going to be a match. You're just looking for people who are looking to help, willing to
help. That's right. So the best age bracket, I think, is 18 to 44 or 45. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But really, it's twofold. It's one, to raise awareness and to, you know, to get as many people to register for be the match as possible, because even though they may not be a match for Reese, they may be a match for someone else out there, and they could save another life. And the process for it is really quite painless. It's just a swab of the cheek that gets sent back, and it's used to find out what your HLA type is and if the tissue that you have in your body matches another person who is seeking that donor. And if you are a match, then you can go and, you know, go in for basically an outpatient procedure that is just as painless, but could potentially end up saving a life. So like I said, we don't know that we will find a specific match for Reese. We're very hopeful that we will, but even if we don't, we may find matches for other individuals who are awaiting a donor right now.
So I'm just curious, because I know people out there who perhaps would obviously love to help, but they're afraid that, oh, this could impact me negatively health-wise. If you go in and get the swab on your cheek and it's deemed that you're a donor for Reese or for somebody else, if you actually go through with it, are you putting your own health at risk? Do you know the answers to that?
I don't know the specific answers. I'm actually still going through the process of training myself up on this. We've been very busy with lots of other things, as you can imagine.
Of course.
But from what I've heard myself is, like I said, it's an outpatient procedure, and it can be as little as giving blood, because they don't necessarily need to go in and take bone marrow like they did in days past. There may be instances where they need to do something like that, but you know, it's a very quick procedure, and the pain that is involved with it might last for a day. So it's not intrusive whatsoever, or the intrusiveness is very minimal, but the health risks associated with it, I think, are even more minimal than the psychological effect of, you know, thinking about having to go in and get a needle in your arm to give some blood to save a life.
Well,
I think that's where people might get hung up.
Yeah, unfortunately for me here, Chris, I'm on the back end of your window, 18 to 44. I actually am 44, but I'm going to come in there, man. I will show up on Thursday, and I'm the biggest wimp ever when it comes to giving blood and all that stuff, but I'm going to hold myself as capable, just because your story really touched me, and just trying to imagine being in that position. And also, just, you know, who knows if I could help Reese or somebody else for that matter. Just seems like the right thing to do. I'm curious, what kind of questions is Reese asking, if you can share?
Quite honestly, Reese, she isn't asking a lot of questions. She is being the bubbly little girl that we knew before this episode happened. And she's running around the house with her sisters and playing with her Christmas toys right now. So that's one of the hardest parts for us is, you know, we don't know what we should be sharing with her right now, because she doesn't quite know what the ramifications are for this hospital visit that we just had. And she she doesn't ask a whole lot of questions. I think she just kind of wants to put it behind her. And if she doesn't see another doctor with a stethoscope around his or her neck for quite a long time, she would be very happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, that's a good sign, though, running around playing, right?
At least that's... Yeah. No, we love that. We love to see that.
Yeah, that's and your wife is a teacher, Chris, is that right?
She is, yeah. So we live in the village of Winnetka, and she actually taught second grade at the local elementary school here, Greeley Elementary, for 10 or 12 years, and up until the twins were born, actually. And so we live in the neighborhood now, and that's where we plan to send our kids to school. So that's why we feel very connected to this community, and we hope a lot of people will turn out to help support us and see if they can be a match for anyone else who might be awaiting a donor as well.
The Sacred Heart Parish Center in Winnetka this coming Thursday. Come on out, and perhaps you can save a life. Perhaps you could be a donor for Reese if she indeed does need the help. Hopefully she doesn't. Hopefully it's just a huge scare, and you guys can move forward. But either way, you know, if you come on out on Thursday, you're doing a great thing. And Chris, I really appreciate you sharing with us. I know it's a super vulnerable time, and to come on the radio and talk about this stuff about your daughter, I mean, that's not easy to do. I think a lot of people want to bury themselves in the sand, and now you're out in the Tribune, you're out here. And you're doing a drive that, you know, maybe be for your daughter, maybe for someone else. So, huge respect for what you're doing, Chris, and I appreciate you jumping on tonight.
No problem, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Chris Felderman, daughter Reese. If you want to see the article in the Tribune, it's Drive Seeks Possible Bone Marrow Donor. This is 720 WGN. WGN, 1153. The drive for Reese on Thursday is from 3 in the afternoon until 6. 3 until 6 in the afternoon. Forgot to specify that with Father Chris on the interview. I apologize for that. 3 until 6. Is there anything more scary in life than having a 3-year-old child who's sick? I mean, really. I mean, I think... the other day I woke up, I had like a pain in the right jaw, and my mind goes right to full, oh no, what's going on? Gotta go see the doc. Something's happening. And, you know, that's for yourself, your kid. Your heart's gotta go out to a family dealing with that. Hopefully it works out, incredibly well for the Feldermans. And, again, thanks to, Chris for jumping on it and sharing. 312-981-7200. People texting in about, being a bone marrow donor. Your body produces marrow every day. No risk to the donor. That's from the 262. Different 262. Do they rule out Lyme disease? Null writing in on that. I don't know the answer to that. Perhaps maybe it is Lyme disease and not, leukemia. Who knows? But, regardless, yeah, I just thought that was a story worth bringing to the air. We're gonna do another Chicago's very own story later tonight. Brandon Moore, who is coaching kids at city colleges, and these guys, They get grants and they get help financially somewhat, but there's no dorms, there's no exposure, no one's going to watch the games, there's, you know, it's as bare bones as it gets. And he's taking on kids that are, you know, second chance kids who A, didn't have the grades, or B, something happened off the court, perhaps, where, you know, if they are super talented, the bigger name programs have given up on them. And here he's taking in guys and trying to A, be a dad, B, be a coach, and guide them along in their young lives, 18, 19, 20 years old. Hey, take care of your classes. B, take care of your basketball. And C, hopefully we can get you an opportunity to play at a D1. He's really a very interesting guy who was given a lot back to the city. So we'll do that about 1:30 today. 312-981-7200. All right. When we get here, when we get back after the midnight news, Esmeralda, what's your highlight story from 2017? Does anything come to mind? Is there any moment in time that you, oh yeah, that happened in 2017, or is it all just one big blur?
It's a little bit of a blur. I've been watching review stuff, and the big thing is that stuck out to me, the eclipse.
Do you remember talking about the eclipse?
Yeah, and you didn't care, right?
Right.
You had no, you couldn't be bothered.
I literally had zero interest.
Did you have any after?
No.
Or during?
No.
No?
No. Did you?
I
forget.
I didn't during because I couldn't see it. I was in a place where I couldn't see it. But seeing pictures and video, it is an amazing sight. And then that video with Tom Skilling crying. I mean, come on. Tom Skilling, it's adorable.
That's true. Skilling crying, I'm with you 100%. That was super, that was touching. That was cool. That's your life. I get it. But, you know, Dave Schwann went down there to Carbondale, Illinois, and Steve Krasanich went, and we had all this coverage, which was, I mean, that's what we do. We're WGN. We're the best. We're going to give you the, people want to know about the eclipse. But I thought it was so incredibly bizarre. Martyr, were you in a, do you, what's your favorite moment from 2017? Do you even remember that the eclipse occurred?
Oh, man, I think it was probably the swearing in of Donald J. Trump as President of the United States. I think that was pretty cool.
See, and that's, It was going around today, like what things that happened in 2017, and a lot of people said Donald J.
No, I'm being facetious when I say that.
Okay. Well, but a lot of people said it. I mean, I
don't know. What,
I mean, you could have just been saying it from, I was hearing it more as like a news story, and I mean, it's been an insane year of coverage on the President of the United States.
Well, having anchored the coverage in November, I was up here with Kim Gordon and Judy Pilak. As we saw those results roll in, we just kept looking at each other going, is this happening?
It
was interesting.
It was an incredible moment in American history. It really was.
I mean,
however you feel about the man, you know, it was certainly a statement on where we were and where we are. And yeah, it will not be. That one will not be forgotten, I would say, in the next 50 years.
I'm always embarrassed how much I forget.
Right?
You know, in a 12-month period, you think I'd be able to retain something, and I'm blank.
Favorite stories in 2017, what do you remember? 312-981-7200. So I'll give something away to the best one. Something that I completely forgot about, which is incredibly awesome. And a lot of my stuff, I was like looking back at some of the sports stuff, completely forgot about that. Greatest moment in Northwestern basketball history, one of them. Like, I completely forgot about like the full court pass to Derek Pardon, Tats beating Michigan, basically punching their ticket to the NCAA tournament. Oh yeah, that happened last year. Didn't really remember it. I think it's kind of like fun to go back and look at it. That's right. We're bringing sexy back right here, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Casero rolling the tunes. My name's Mark Carmen, in for Patty tonight. 12:07. Welcome to your Wednesday. Although in Patty terms, it's not Wednesday until tomorrow night at 11 p.m., I believe. Or when she wakes up later on Wednesday. When's it officially Wednesday for you, Esmeralda?
It already is.
It's Wednesday right now?
Yeah.
Legit Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, technically it is Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, most of my shift is the next day, so.
Did I tell you what happened to me at the airport, Esmeralda?
No.
Did I tell you, because now I'm thinking about mornings and whatnot, about, what was it? A week ago Monday, I went to bed right about now.
Mm-hmm.
Got up at 2 in the morning, 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
Got in an Uber, went to Midway Airport, was flying to Cancun with my girlfriend.
Ooh.
It was a big move, right? Get in line, we get there at about 3:20. Huge melee. It wasn't a melee. Huge argument going on with security and a mom and her daughters. And it was a passport issue. This was an international flight. Just basically stopped the line. We finally get through. It's like 4:35. Flight's at 5:20. Still got tons of time here. They look at me and they say, hey, our window on international flights with checking baggage. Sorry, can't put you on the flight. Got up at 2.
What?
Wouldn't put me on the flight.
When was the flight?
Flight was at 5:20.
And when did you get there?
3:30. Come on.
I mean, I would have gotten there at 2, but...
You would have gotten there at 2 o'clock?
I get to the airport ridiculously early.
Okay, so you admit that you get there ridiculously early.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm supposed to get there at 2 o'clock for a 5:20 flight? Are you kidding me?
International. They don't mess around.
I'm going to Mexico. This ain't no trip to Holland. Come on. They weren't playing, though. And I just said, sir, I will walk the bags down to the plane myself. You need to hold that plane. There are people in line behind me that are in the same situation. If that discussion hadn't been going on for an hour, we would have made the flight, but got bumped.
Also,
yes.
Carry on.
Well, wait, what?
Carry on. You get a carry on.
Yeah, but but I was going to Mexico. I had a big bag.
Why?
No,
what
I didn't
need shorts, some Hawaiian shirts, and some flip flops.
Yeah, I didn't have the big bag. She had the big bag. But women like to travel with a lot of stuff. It's what you all do.
Mm-mm. You got to pare down.
So you don't check bags?
No. It costs money now. Forget that mess.
Not on Southwest, dog.
Ugh.
You could check two bags. Carry on, too.
I always carry on now. Because then that way, one, you don't have to deal with, you know, what if they lose it?
Yeah. Okay, so you're saying that it's like literally every personal thing I bring up on these airwaves where I think I'm in the right, you always think I'm wrong. You have, like, literally...
You're wrong.
You weren't on my side on my car getting stolen.
Oh, good. Don't even start with that one.
Right. You're completely against that. You think that I got to the airport too late.
I mean, you could have gotten there a little earlier.
An hour, 2 hours before the flight, Esmeralda, at 3:30 in the morning. Come on.
Yeah, but when did you go?
What do you mean, when did I go?
Like, when was this?
December the 18th we're flying out.
Mm.
Yeah, I know, it's high season.
Yeah.
I mean, we got there and everyone and their mom was at Midway Airport that morning. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
my God.
See?
What are y'all doing here? But I thought that would be this week. Like, this is the week. This last week was child's play. All right. 312-981-7200. Was Carmen wrong?
And couldn't have gone to another gate? A gate, but, you know, like a check-in area?
And that was the other...
All jammed?
That was the other situation. We did have a little minor faux pas where if you are traveling abroad, you have to fill out all your passport information and enter it into the system if you're going to just go through the check-in. That was not done by one of the traveling parties in my party. Not me.
Oh, boy.
And so we had to go through the full service line.
Mm.
But... She's beautiful and sweet and special and all that, so can't get mad. But we were not able to go through the kiosk version. We had to go full service, and of course, full service was in a massive meltdown with, and I felt terrible. I felt terrible for this mom who was traveling to, some Central American country through Mexico. And she had her passport and her daughter's passport, but one of them was, like, I don't know, on her phone or whatever it was, and they just wouldn't let her go. I'm like, would you let this person go home, please? Why are we causing an international incident? And now Carmen can't get to Mexico. So I got in the 9 o'clock, 4 hours late. And that kills your day, though.
So look at that. You got there real early for that one.
Yeah, we were, oh, yeah, no doubt. Had breakfast in the airport and all. It was outstanding. All right, 312-981-7200. What news, entertainment, or sports stories do you remember from 2017? Just sit back for a moment and think, oh, yeah, that was a sweet moment of the year. I think it's important to go back, do a little reflection on everything that went down. We talked about Donald Trump being sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. That was on January the 20th. And just an incredible moment in American history. You had the massacres, right, in both Las Vegas and in Texas, October 1. Remember how horrible? A lone gunman unleashing the rapid barrage of bullets, as they write it here, from the Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas. 59 people killed, injuring 500 others. Like, they didn't know where it was coming from. People fleeing from the concert. I won't say his name, but he was 64 years old. And if you go back, November 5th, back in the church in rural Texas, at a church, 26 parishioners were killed, 19 injured, won't say his name either. Victims from 5 years old to 72. Those are some terrible ones right there. We had the solar eclipse, which we mentioned earlier. Do you remember what month that was, Esmeralda? Can you even name the month?
I'm going to say August.
Kisara?
September.
It was in late August. Good job, yeah. Esmeralda. Yep. The first eclipse since 1918.
You know the next one in 7 years?
Yeah.
Is on my birthday.
Is that right?
April 8th.
All right.
I'll be 43, I think.
Oof. It's a great age. Highly recommend it. Sports stories, 2017. You had the Houston Astros winning their first ever World Series. You had Clemson beating Alabama in college football's national championship game, which was super sweet. You had Kevin Durant in the NBA moving to Golden State and beating the Cleveland Cavaliers in the finals. You had the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight, which was incredibly entertaining, even though everybody knew Floyd was going to win, and he did. And then you had the scandals in sports. You had the president of USA Gymnastics resigning amid the sexual abuse scandal. Now you got that dirtball doctor who's also going to jail. You had a Russia being banned from the Winter Olympics from massive doping from the Sochi Games. You had the U.S. not qualifying for the World Cup for the first time since 1986. Italy didn't qualify either, for the record. But you had Deflategate again with Tom Brady and the Patriots, where he missed 4 games at the start of the year, and then they came back from 28-3 down in the Super Bowl to beat Atlanta, which made me nauseous. And then I think the biggest story of the sports season is the NFL players and the national anthem, and using it as a vehicle to bring attention to social injustices and the reaction that that's been. And, of course, a lot of people criticizing it and a lot of people realizing that it's free speech and they're trying to bring awareness. That was a huge story in 2017. Entertainment. Does anybody remember the best picture mix-up at the Oscars? Do you remember that?
Right.
Right? Biggest night ever in Hollywood. La La Land was announced as the best picture. But then they're like, no. It's Moonlight. La La Land was up there, if you recall, and said, they got this wrong. Moonlight, get on up here. I didn't see La La Land. I didn't see Moonlight. I saw neither. Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway were the presenters. There's a moment for you. You had the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester. 22 people killed in Manchester, England. That was May 22nd. That was incredible. Had him overseas and the statements that she had afterwards. some people that we lost from the world of entertainment: Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, Tom Petty, Greg Allman, Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington, Glenn Campbell, Mary Tyler Moore, Bill Paxton, Adam West, Jerry Lewis, Don Rickles, Dick Gregory, Hugh Hefner. Hef's not with us anymore. It's my guy. Before his time, man, Hugh Hefner. And then you had all the scandals. Bill Cosby, who didn't grow up watching the Cosby Show. Then you had the latest, you had some solid baby booms. Serena Williams winning the Australian Open, 8 weeks pregnant. And then and you had the picture from Beyonce with her little baby bump. Because Sarah's kind of our Beyonce of the show right now, because they go by one name.
It's not that I'm like a Beyonce. I just don't like my last name. I truly do not like it. So I usually just go by Casera or like a nickname or something.
What are the nicknames that we got going on here?
Cash or DJ Cashera.
I could call you DJ Cashera.
I can go with that then.
Okay.
Thank you.
I mean, Beyonce's got some loyal following now.
She does.
Like, the Beehive is legit.
Oh, they are vicious.
They're vicious.
Yeah, I don't even tweet about Beyonce anymore.
Like, you tweet something bad about Beyonce, the Beehive's...
You're done. Your account will be canceled.
The Beehive, by the way.
Beehive.
Beehive.
Bay.
Beehive.
Bee. It's Queen Beyonce. Bee. It's not Bay.
Yeah, no. I think it's the Beehive.
You best...
But it's B-E-Y.
You best apologize right now. It is the Beehive.
But it's B-E-Y-H-I-V.
95% sure it's the Beehive.
It's the Beehive. They will find you, Esmeralda, for that.
Yes, they will. Your Facebook account is going to be done for now. It's dangerous.
She's backing up.
Right.
I think that's the first time ever I've had Esmeralda on her heels, honestly.
Because now she's afraid.
Yeah, the Beehive is coming crashing. And then you had the October 5th New York Times story about Harvey Weinstein. Which Ashley Judd, amongst a million others, accused him of sexual harassment and all that has followed after that. I mean, it has been one domino after another. Kevin Spacey, it has not stopped. And it's a good sign that the old times are changing here, team. So that was some of the entertainment news. And a couple other moments that I think are worth mentioning from the year of 2017, just to think about. Does anybody remember the Hollywood sign being changed to Hollyweed? Do you remember that? Out in beautiful California.
That happened?
That happened.
Where was I at?
They took out the O's and put in two E's. Hollyweed.
How did I miss that?
No, when January 1st, man changed the Hollywood sign to Hollyweed. I thought that was pretty impressive. That was aggressive, but amazing. You also had, a couple other favorites? Oh. Do you remember the moment with Rihanna? Anybody remember Rihanna? Fenty Beauty? Anybody? No?
That is iconic. Like, her line is going wild right now. I have friends that sit in their cars waiting for, like, the doors to open to go buy the lipstick and whatnot.
Yeah, it's quite a thing.
Have you guys gotten it?
Definitely not.
I don't have any money.
Only Jeff Sickeye uses Blistex. Raspberry lemonade flavor.
So you're telling me that she just opened up a chapstick line, basically, and it was...
It's not chapstick.
What is it?
It's lip tints.
It's a whole makeup line.
Yeah, it's a whole makeup line.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's super inclusive for all skin tones.
All skin tones. It's crazy.
All skin tones.
From the palest of the pale to the darkest.
It's great. It's just for your lips, correct?
No. The lip line just dropped like a week ago.
Okay.
But before the lip tints and lip coloring dropped, before that, what is it called? Like foundation, right?
Mm, yes.
Yeah, foundation. I don't know. I don't know makeup, okay? But I know about Fenty, okay?
Then supposedly all the lipsticks are, they work on everyone.
Do you like, do you guys like the fact that I brought that up to you? I threw in a little
That's
Rihanna.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm showing the wide range that I bring to the table. I'm doing this because I'm going to bring Harry Tyne. I'm going to wake Harry Tyne.
I mean, you did ask, does anyone remember Rihanna? Like, she's
went away somewhere or something. Like,
well,
she's never gone
here.
Away.
I mean, I feel like Rihanna's kind of moved down the list here.
No.
What?
Nope.
No.
No?
Definitely is not.
Exactly.
Wild Thoughts is still a great song, and it just came out a couple months ago.
I mean, I'm living in the Disturbia land. That's where I get it.
Wow.
What was that, like 1968 Disturbia? So long ago. Such a good tune, Disturbia.
1807?
It was
a long time ago.
I mean, I appreciated Disturbia. I think I'm going to wake up Harry Tyne, what's coming up after 12:30, because he loves going through a 2017 and remembering things, and so we'll have some fun with Harry coming up after the 12:30 news series. Love a little Michael Jackson. Favorite Michael Jackson song, Esmeralda, you got one?
I'd say PYT.
It's a great choice. Sarah?
Probably... Oh, man.
I'm starting with
Heaven
the
Can
man.
Wait, or...
Wow, that's just...
You Rock My World. Yeah, those are my top
I don't even
two.
Know if I know those songs.
Are you serious? Oh, man.
Heaven Can Wait?
Yeah. Let me pull it up for you. How do you not know?
I gotta hear it.
Okay.
I mean, if I was gonna go like late Michael Jackson for me, I would use like Dirty Diana, which is way underrated, by the way.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Let's see here.
But like, Heaven Can Wait. What year is that?
I couldn't tell you.
Heaven Can Wait, huh? Don't know it.
Wow. Go. You can go home and study it now.
Is that during the history?
It could be.
Or what was it called? Yeah, right? History?
I think so. Possibly. I'm not sure, really. I don't know. It's a good song, though. I like it. Play it when I get in my feels while I'm driving around sometimes.
Does he get credit for wanting to be starting something?
Why wouldn't he? Who else would?
I don't know. This doesn't. I feel like there's like some level of duet going on in Wannabe Starting Something that maybe I'm just totally off.
Duet? With who?
Can I get a little Wannabe Starting Something real quick? Can I feel that? Can you throw?
Some Wannabe Starting Something?
Yeah.
Let's see how fast YouTube works for me today. Let's see here.
I know it's there for you because I'm staring at it. I don't know if I
Let me see.
Are you thinking because they did a duet thing with Whitney Houston at some point?
I thought
point?
It was... Wasn't it Paul McCartney?
No, you're
That's
thinking...
That's not that song.
Girl Is Mine?
Yeah.
Where? What is the video where they're in... It's they drink the fake tequila or whatever it is.
That's The Girl Is Mine. Not this. This is one we started something.
What am I thinking of?
It's The Girl Is Mine, right?
I don't think it is.
I think so, but let's see, because there's no duet here.
Not gonna lie, I miss Michael a little
bit.
Yeah,
The Girl Is Mine. It's Paul McCartney.
Yes, The Girl Is Mine.
Oh, you're thinking of Say, Say, Say.
I'm thinking of Say, Say, Say. That's what I'm thinking of. Now, does he get credit for Say, Say, Say?
He's in the video.
Whose song is Say, Say, Say?
Just because you're in the video, you get... credit for it.
Is that
I think it was
credit.
Paul's and then he's featuring.
That's what I was thinking.
And then Michael's is The Girl Is Mine and Paul is featuring.
Say, 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 Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney official video. So I guess that's a duet. I'm not going to say Say, Say, Say is my favorite Michael
Jackson. Yeah, it
Jackson.
Just says and. It doesn't say who's featuring.
But like that for me in growing up Mark Harmon land, Friday night videos, Say, 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 that was a big deal. That was a great moment.
It is a really good video, I have to admit. It is a good one.
So, it's all right. I got to get on track here. Feel off. All right, we're going to wake up Harry Tynowitz. ...720 WGN. And, you know, when it's the middle of the night or late at night, and I look, and I don't see anybody sitting with me. I just miss Harry Tynowitz. I don't think that's a normal thing, but it's true, so I just figured I'd give him a call, see how he's doing. My co-host on Saturdays for The Beat and other fill-in shifts. Harry, do you miss me?
I miss you more than you could possibly imagine.
Tell me more. What's your favorite thing about me?
Mark, I guess it's the way that you keep surprising me. You keep surprising the listeners. Just when I think I've got you solved, you'll come up with something new.
Yeah.
You'll have a reference to a road trip you took in college where you went to, like, you know, Colorado and Vegas and Portland and Hollywood, and, you know, we're on the set of a movie, and you made love to Jodie Foster. You just keep surprising me.
Yeah, I know, and everything but the Foster part was true there, but...
Was it George Foster?
What was he, a red and a white sock, George Foster?
He was definitely a red and a white sock and a New York Met. His numbers in the 70s were like among the best in all of baseball.
See, speaking of surprising, you never know when a George Foster reference can be dropped.
Right.
So let me ask you something, Harry. Did you see what was trending on Twitter today?
Was it the fact that you won the survey? More people think it's cooler to watch a Bulls game at a friend's house than a James Bond movie?
You did see that did go my way, right?
It did go your way. You're right. You're right.
Well, you were in there, though. I mean, Bond was, what, 36%? It wasn't terrible.
No, it was like 57-43, something like that.
Right. So what I'm actually referencing is hashtag the best part to 2017 for me.
Oh, I see. That was trending.
Yeah. So some people are saying, you know, something about, you know, the day that Donald Trump got into office. Other people are saying the 19 days that Barack Obama was still in office. Other people are saying the day I lost my virginity. Other people are saying the day I met my wife. So I'm wondering for you, Harry Tynowitz, the best part of 2017 for me. Does anything come to mind?
I think the best part of 2017 for me is when I went with you to the Billy Goat before a show, and instead of getting a cheeseburger or a regular burger, you got a grilled cheese. I learned a lot about you that day. It was really fun, and I got to eat two double cheeseburgers.
That was the best part of 2017 for you? That's a terrible 2017.
No, you see, you mocked me. You mocked me when, remember last year when I was, when I went out with my cousin to that, what's that cool Italian place in Highwood? Scornavacos?
Scornavacos, I thought was a pizza joint. Cool Italian. Nightingale, Washington Gardens.
I thought it was Scornavacos, not Nightingale. I love the Nightingale.
No,
it's like, you know, a smaller Italian place on the west side of the street there on Green Bay Road.
Yeah, you were definitely talking about Washington Gardens.
Okay, Washington Gardens. And I was all excited because it was the next night, and I was looking forward to coming home and just crushing my doggy bag. And you're like, how can you be excited over a doggy bag? Well, like, depending on where it's from, it could be, like, the greatest, you know, thing ever.
Well, hold on a second. I'm pro-leftover. I think I was just dogging Washington Gardens. I would never dog a leftover.
Okay, you're sure it's not called Scornavacos? You're sure it's Washington Gardens?
No, it's not. No, I wouldn't dog Scornavacos. You were, like, super giddy about Washington Gardens, and I think I just... And I actually, you know, it's funny that you mentioned this, Harry. This is the brilliance of you.
Yeah.
And how connected we are. I was looking for an establishment to have dinner on Christmas Eve with my father in the suburbs. And Washington Gardens was one of the options. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe go Washington Gardens. But then I thought about it too long, and all the reservations at Washington Gardens were gone.
Even for a Mark Turman, WGN Radio, to drop that name, just like you know, Mark, you hand the hostess a catcher's mitt, and then you drop the name, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not that guy, Harry. I'm not. I can't. That's like something you can pull huge, successful radio guy, Mac Yurko and Harry and Spike, everything else that you've done in your career. I'm just little old Carm. I can't be making those type of advancements.
And I think it's great that your dad at 92 is still, like, going to restaurants. That's awesome.
We ended up at Next Door. It was delicious. All right.
You know, if your dad were just 2 years older, he could play you in one of them East Bank Club tennis tournaments.
That's true. It's true. He needs to gain a couple of years. I'm taking my daughter later in the... My daughter. My niece.
Your daughter?
My niece.
Another surprise. Another surprise.
My niece is coming. My niece is coming later in the week. I asked to take my... Here's a question for you, Harry. You let me know how you would handle this. I asked my brother, can I take my niece to the Old East Bank Club this week? You know, she's off school. She's 11 years old. And he says, yes, and Thursday and all that. And then he asked just Grace. Like, he wants to come, too. Now, what do I do there? He wants to come, but I want to have solo time with my niece. I never get a little solo time. Is that wrong to ask for? How do you handle it?
Well, I think if he wants to be with his daughter, you don't shut him down from his daughter. And as a 12-year-old, she'll love being with you. I mean, she can always be with her dad, but she'll love being with you.
But so I'm supposed to say, okay, everybody can come?
Of course you are. What are you going to do? Say, I mean, look, if there were tickets for a play, there I go again, you go into a play. If there were tickets for a game, if it were, you know, something that you only had two ducats for, then, you know, he would have to understand. But something like that, you say, hey, sure, the more the merrier.
It's $25 a guest pass there, buddy.
John Carm, a guy like you about to come into the greatest year of your life, 2018, year of the Carm.
That's what I'm talking. I think 2018 is going to be the year of Harry.
And I don't know. I think you and Fred Hoiberg will have the greatest success of any two people in Chicago in 2018.
Another big win for the Bulls last night, 115-109. Is that the final? Did I just get that wrong? Let me double check that. They beat the Bucks. I know that for sure.
Hang on a second.
Carm's looking the actual score up.
It Chris Dunn,
115-106. Yeah, 20-12.
20-12 for Chris Dunn, and Nico had 24. Nico and Bobby Portis are, like, you know, laughing and knuckle punching each other. Winning cures a lot of things.
Well, and let me ask you something there, Harry, because, you know, we did this topic on the beat, and it's worth bringing up again as we kind of learn lessons from 2017 as we wrap up the year. People not following sports, it's okay. Give you a little, I mean, everybody can relate to getting in a fist fight with a worker or friend, and Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic went fist to face, and Portis sent Nico to the hospital and concussed him, and he missed about the first 2 months of the season, and now they're back. And I don't know who it was, Harry. You can just remind the listener, or perhaps just yourself right now, who was saying that Nico had to come back to the team, that it was in his best interest to let bygones be bygones, and everybody else was saying, you got to trade him, they'll never get along again, and now what's going on? Who was that brilliant radio personality that was putting out that Nico's got to have a growing up moment, come back, and everything's going to be fine?
Was it Orion Samuelson?
It might have been Orion Samuelson, but...
How would Orion have said that?
My gosh, he would have said, Nico Mirit... I'm not feeling my Orion right now. Nico. But, so I put it out there, Harry.
You said it, Carm. You said
Thank you. Thank you.
You said it. And I, you know, I don't think, you know, we differ on this, and you know, I'm watching this game, and it's hard to not vote for the Bulls. I mean, I love the Bulls. I love Chicago teams. I vote a straight Chicago ticket. I know that the Bulls, in my heart, I despite of what I want, I know the Bulls can't go anywhere if they make the playoffs. And I know that they'll be better in the coming years if they get a high draft pick. But there I am with the game on the line, tied going into the fourth quarter, and I'm rooting for the Bulls, and I feel like I'm doing the wrong thing.
Sorry, your rooting has nothing to do with anything. I'm rooting for them too, man. I'm...
No, you just buzzkill. Don't buzzkill me.
I hate
tell me you You're telling me that in your life of watching sports, all the sports you've watched, you never felt like, boy, if I stand here, this team will win. Or if I wear this jersey or this pair of socks, this team will win.
No.
You never felt that way.
No, of course I felt that way, and I was dead wrong. It had nothing to do with anything. I felt it, but it's not true.
Man, you anything you want to say about Santa Claus? Now that it's December 27th?
Did I ever tell you my Paul McKeskey story?
I love Big Mike. I went to college with Paul McKeskey.
Paul McKeskey was a Jayhawk? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he was a Milwaukee Buck?
Of course. He was mostly a Milwaukee Buck.
Do you remember when the Bucks played the Bulls? I want to say it was like a Sunday afternoon, and yours truly was wearing red Bulls sweatpants and a red Bulls sweatshirt and was sitting in Section H of the mezzanine, aisle 3, row section. I was like, let me get that right, just because I'm the only one that cares about this. It was row H, section 3 of the mezzanine on the bend.
What year was this?
I want to say, call it 1987, and Michael Jordan drove the baseline, and Paul McKeskey, the goon that he was, the Kansas Jayhawk goon, he came over and leveled him, and Jordan was parallel to the ground from about 8 feet up, all the way on down, smacked to the floor, bounced up off the floor, and then just laid there for a good 5 minutes. And I went running down the aisle to the rail, which was protecting me from the court and from the box seats. And I used a lot of profanity and told Paul McKeskey that I was going to F kill him right F now. And I was, 13 years old and 100 and actually and about 78 pounds. But that's my Paul McKeskey story. I was going to kill him to protect Michael Jordan, Harry.
That is one of my three favorite Paul McKeskey stories of all time.
tears were flowing immediately off out of my eyes, off my face. McKeskey, I'll kill you.
The Kansas Jayhawks, when I got there as a freshman, were ranked second in the nation. And Darnell Valentine was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Magic Johnson and one other guy. Darnell Valentine was this awesome guard out of Wichita. He won number 14 because he said, every game is Valentine's Day. And I took my Cub and Bear and Bulls and Hawks 5 with me and Sox 5 with me to Kansas. And they were so bad that they did not even get to the NIT that year. Second in the country going in. This year Magic won the whole thing in 79. And Kansas went from second to not even going to the NIT.
I mean, let's all have a moment of silence for that Jayhawks basketball team right now here on 720 WGN. Moment of silence. All right, thank you. Hey, Harry.
Yes, Carmen.
Before you go, did you see any movies today?
Con, I have seen three movies in 3 days, and they've all been pretty good. I saw the Jewish sequel to Star Wars. I saw Star Wars The Last Jeweler, and I thought it was the best Star Wars that wasn't one of the three real Star Wars, but the rest are not. None of them are real Star Wars movies. And then the one I saw on Monday was fantastic. All the Money in the World, about J. Paul Getty's grandson being kidnapped in the early 70s. And not only is it terrific, but my favorite thing about it is that's the movie where Ridley Scott went back with like 3 months to go in the period and reshot Kevin Spacey's part. He got Christopher Plummer to play Christopher Spacey. Imagine that. You make a movie for like a year and a half, and then you find out this guy, Kevin Spacey's a, and you go back and you shoot it with another actor. That was great. And, I just thought he was fantastic. Christopher Plummer, of course, is the Commander Van Trapp from Sound of Music.
Of course.
Yeah, you know that. I'll tell you that. Michelle Williams, who's in Manchester by the Sea, she's great. And Mark Wahlberg, who's always great.
I loved Manchester by the Sea. That was a great film.
Yeah, how come you were the only one laughing when we saw it?
Did we go together to that?
No, we didn't.
No, we did not. I pulled a Harry on that one. I went Manchester by the Sea, middle of the afternoon, by myself.
Yeah, movies by yourself are one of the great treats in the world. Carm, I love people. I love friends. I love going to games with people, to dinner with people. Going to a movie, you're not going to talk during the movie. You're rude if you talk during the movie. You know, so you can see the movie, and I can see it another time in another country, and we can talk about it. And tonight, Molly's game. Jessica Chastain, who's a top flight actress. Molly's game, very cool, wonderful movie. So, and there's more movies to see. With my kids out of town, you know, I can go see movies.
Did you know, last thing here, I'm very happy that you're getting this alone time to reevaluate things.
I'm not. I'd rather not be alone. But, you know, I make the best of it.
Well, there you go. Did you see that the KFC recipe was revealed today?
The 11 herbs and spices?
Yep. Did you see that?
That is awful. That is terrible. Wait, let me get a pen.
How did you know it was 11 herbs and spices? Are you that good?
How did you not know?
I didn't know that it was 11 herbs and spices. Do you know? Do you want to take a guess at what the 11 herbs and spices are? Are you that good there over?
No, I would have no idea. Come on.
I could tell you my
12th thing that I put on there is ketchup.
That's I don't mind. I think ketchup is an underrated condiment on a chicken. Salt.
Ketchup is the man when it comes to condiments. There's ketchup and there's everything else.
There's three different kinds of salts on here. There's the regular salt. There's the
celery salt.
There's the garlic salt, and then there's the celery salt. That's right.
Yeah. And for you youngsters out there, now you're in my wheelhouse. For you youngsters out there, when you go to a burger place or a hot dog stand and you get your fries, be sure to ask for celery salt with the fries.
Really?
Instead of the regular salt. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's taking it up three levels.
But a good,
you know?
A good fry doesn't really need any salt, does it?
I'm talking about making a good fry a great fry.
You're going from good to great with a little salt.
Good to great with celery salt. Okay, so that's three. I'm owed eight more herbs and spices, Tom.
I got some thyme for you. I've got some basil. I've got some I've got some oregano. I've got some black pepper.
Officer, it's oregano.
Exactly. Dried mustard, paprika, ground ginger, and white pepper. That is your 11 herbs and spices.
That is unbelievable. Somebody's head has to roll. I mean, besides a chicken head.
That it's out there?
Yeah.
Well, it's the way it is.
Yeah, some things will never change.
Harry, I love you.
I love you, Carm. It's very, very brave of you to do 6 hours straight.
Well, that or something else.
I'll look forward to being on the air with you Saturday at 4.
Saturday at 4, baby. Have a great rest of your night. Thanks for getting up in the middle of the night for me. I appreciate it.
Carm, it is worth it. I only wish I knew where I was, but this is not my house.
The one and only Harry Tynowitz, 720 WGN. Thanks to my guy Harry Tynowitz for jumping on. Appreciate him. I feel like it's way past Harry's bedtime. But there he was, getting her done. 12:56 as we take you through the night. Hope you're having a great holiday season. Good morning to my third shifters out there getting up and getting it done. It's always a special, I love when I get to do the overnight. Feel like you're just sort of ahead of the game. You're in there. You're experiencing the world when others are asleep. And yet there's like a select crew out there that just provides the energy of the night. 312-981-7200. Would love to hear somebody who's working right now, maybe wants a little bit of a boost on their drive, just wants to share about their holiday time, or wants to react to anything that's going on in the program. You're welcome. 312-981-7200. Sir, I got a question for you. You a good flyer?
Am I a good flyer? I've only been on a plane 4 times in my life thus far. So, yeah, totally.
Okay. Do you need any props when you're flying, like a blanket for comfort or something along those lines?
No.
Okay. Well, here's a little story. And this is not of the Christmas spirit. So we got two G League basketball players. Now, the G League is the NBA's minor league. And they're on a flight from Dallas to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. American Airlines Flight 3756, operated by Envoy. Dallas to Sioux Falls. Two first-class passengers gave the two basketball players, Marquise Teague, who used to be a Chicago Bull, awful draft pick, and Treshawn Burrell, they gave them blankets, which were only available in first class, as, I guess, a kind gesture as they headed to their seats, right?
That's nice.
Right, here's some blankets, in case you guys are cold. Maybe they asked for them. I don't know. So then, here's what happens, right? You get Teague and Burrell, they get to coach. These are two African-American gentlemen on the flight.
Oh, great.
The flight attendant accused them of...
stealing the blankets.
Stealing the blankets. That's exactly right. So now we're in an argument. And you would think that you would have, like, a clue as to who's on your flight there. These are, you know, these are... NBA players are...
Right, they're pretty big deals. I think having blankets isn't that big of a problem.
Well, even if they weren't, it shouldn't be a problem. By the way, it's a blanket. I don't know why we're having arguments about a blanket. What happens if they did steal the blanket? Who cares? It's a crappy airplane blanket that's nasty and has all sorts of...
But it's a first-class blanket. You know, it might be superior to other blankets.
I suppose that's possible. But the flight attendant said... that he wouldn't fly unless Teague and Burrell were off the plane.
What? All right, that's extra.
After Burrell apparently had said some threatening words. So, to keep the flight from being delayed, Teague and Burrell got off the plane. And then American Airlines ends up putting them and one of their assistant coaches on a later flight. So then you get an American Airlines spokesman who... said that, apologized to the players after the incident, and apparently the company's going to apologize some more, and all that type of stuff. And here's the quote. We apologize for what occurred on this flight. We take pride in bringing people together.
Together.
Yeah, and we know that on this flight we let some of our customers down. Our team at American... along with Envoy Air, is reviewing what happened and will be reaching out to the two players and the assistant coach. So, there's a Hustle head coach of the team. His name is Glenn Cyprian. He's got assistant coach Darnell. And the head coach is saying that American Airlines needs some sensitivity training for attendance. So there you go. Little blanket on a flight. Marcus Teague, when he came into the league, signed a 3-year contract worth well over $3 million. And now he's getting accused of stealing blankets on a flight from Dallas to Sioux Falls and getting booted off the plane because somebody lost their head. Now, even if you are accused of stealing the blankets, losing your mind and calling names is not the move. But, you have all the leverage at that moment. Sir... you've greatly offended me.
Right.
That gentleman in first class gave me the blankets. Why don't you go ask him? And by the way, I am not who you think I am.
That's how you handle it.
Something along those lines.
So now we know what you'll do when you become rich and famous and go on the flight.
Well, I think... like, this is actually something that I'm working on for my whole airport experience myself. Because I don't want to be the guy that throws a tantrum in public and is looked at as the crazy person. But right. I don't think you need to go crazy. I think you can be in control, look that person in the eye, and make your point with maybe a little bit of a raised voice. But you don't need to do a whole high-pitched scream or just, you know, the whole act. It can be real direct. And you can get, and that's how you're going to most likely get it done. You could catch me, Ray, in the new look for all. And the driver honey got on. Yeah, longer than LeBron. Just waiting for my thumb like the fawn. You know this one, Esmeralda?
This is N.E.R.D., right?
Is that right, Kassara?
She got it. Yeah, Nerd and Rihanna.
Can I get us a Disturbia at some point tonight, please?
I will hit you with a Disturbia, I promise.
That's what I'm talking about. It's where I get cool.
Why is that the only, like, Rihanna song that's so memorable for you?
I don't know. I just like the way it starts. Dom, dom, dee, dom, dom, dee, dom, bom, bom, bom. There's something about that that does it for me, and I find her to be very sexy in that video, so there's that.
Oh,
not
okay.
Not that that's really exclusive to that video.
What about Umbrella? Umbrella was pretty catchy for her.
I don't know Umbrella. Ella,
what?
Ella, is that Umbrella?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I do know Umbrella. I never saw the video.
You know, then put out a line of umbrellas.
Is that what she did?
She did. I think she, with some, whoever sells umbrellas.
Y'all are big.
Whoever's like the big umbrella brand, she put out a line of umbrellas when that came out.
I did not know that she put out a line of umbrellas. I didn't know that.
Y'all are big into Rihanna. It's a little.
No, it's not that. It's just Rihanna uses like social media as her campaign.
Who does Rihanna date?
No one at the
moment. Right now? Yeah, nobody.
Really?
She is her own lady.
How does she feel about the Caucasian man? Not that I'm available, but
Wasn't her ex a Caucasian man?
There was a rumor she was dating Leonardo DiCaprio for a
serious. And there were some photos of them at a party.
Yeah.
Leonardo gets in that scene too. Wow.
But there wasn't anything
impressive for Leonardo.
Yeah.
He's not having a hard time, is he?
Not at all.
He's dating some young model chick now.
I bet he is. So, all right, let's talking about dating and life experiences. You know what's coming up?
Valentine's Day.
No.
Oh.
You're jumping ahead.
I mean, that is coming up.
Sunday night. What's Sunday night, y'all?
New Year's Eve.
That's right. So I'd like to have a discussion here. 312-981-7200. What is appropriate on a first year of dating, first time New Year's Eve?
Ooh. Like, I'm going through the exact same thing this year.
Is that right?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, what do I mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, what do you do with
I got the look the other day. It's our first New Year's.
What does that mean?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm asking here. 312-981-7200. So, you know, and Tribune had a piece today. Here's the top 13 things to do on New Year's. Go to the Safe House Chicago. International Men of Mystery and Bond Girls are welcome at the Spy Theme. River North Bar's Shagadelic Dance Party. Opt for the $50 drink package. There's that.
Wait, does it really say Shagadelic?
It does.
That's where you don't go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
There's no
don't
chance.
Don't go to that one.
Metro, dance your way into 2018 with house beats from Farley, Jackmaster Funk, Tropical Techno from The Recluse, $40 to $55. You got the Irish O, you got Henry's, you got the Boundary Tavern and Grill. Dress your best for a shot at winning a pair of Snapchat spectacles at the Wicker Park Bars. Go out and style bash. Sign up at Eventbrite, $70-$80. Like, what do you... I hate New Year's. No, that's not true. Let me take that back.
Wow.
I take that back. I don't hate New Year's. I don't hate anything. I, in fact, love New Year's. But planning for New Year's is always a challenge. Like, can I just do a dinner? Can I cook up a... Can we just get a meal?
Oh, you want to cook a meal?
No. I take that back. I'm not cooking anything.
Okay.
Can I just go out and get a meal? Like, this is our first New Year's, what is required? 312-981-7200.
Well, it depends.
Depends on what?
What are you guys into?
We're into...
Are you into the more quiet, or do you want something rowdy?
Yeah.
Because if she's not into the rowdy, then yeah.
No, she wants the quiet, I think.
Okay. Well, then a dinner would be nice.
Do movie and a dinner.
Mm.
Is that too quiet?
Is that right? Is that like silent now?
I mean, movie and a dinner is like any night. I think New Year's, you got to go a little deeper. Like, okay. I remember some great... I had a way back in the day, I really enjoyed a New Year's. Like, what was that place on Fullerton right before Ashland? The Liars Club? Does that ring a bell? It was a hot spot back in the day, I'm telling you. That was a great New Year's. Had a hell of a time. I enjoyed going out in, like, my 20s on a New Year's Eve. But now... I'm thinking about just dinner, but like it's hard to get a reservation for dinner on New Year's, right? Like, what are you doing, Esmeralda? You and your lovely boyfriend, what are you working?
He's working. The whole plan was maybe to get dinner with some friends and then figure something out. But then I think some other friends are going to do a potluck thing, so, and then just, you know, celebrate at their house.
So you're solo on New Year's, no smoochy smooch for you?
No, probably not. He's probably going to still be at work.
Does that feel... Do you want to tell him, hey, it's New Year's, can you take a night off?
No, because he has to work. It's called making money.
What do you mean he has to? There's things called days off. You could take a day off.
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
He has to be at work.
Why can't he take a day off?
Because some people can't take days off and still make money.
What does he do?
He's a server right now.
Okay. So it's a big night of dough.
Yeah.
It's not the night you want to give up.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it. I get it.
And again, it's not like he disappears at midnight.
Like out of the bed and comes,
him.
And comes to do a radio show.
I will see him in the morning.
One of the great moments in radio history when Sidecar Seth Marks was afraid to tell his wife that he was coming to WGN to sit and do a sidecar role, so he just snuck out, and then she woke up at 3 in the morning, thought that he had been kidnapped, called him, and he was on the radio, and she basically told him, don't come home. That was awesome. All right, so you're a great supportive girlfriend. You don't really care. You're just going to do your thing. What's your situation here, Kassara? Can't hear you.
There we go.
Yes.
Well, at first, we were going to just do dinner.
Yeah.
And then do a drive up Lakeshore Drive and laugh at all the drunk people that are walking around, like, in Boys Town and up north. But I got booked to DJ at Soho House, so now she's pretty much forced to come with me to Soho House to bring in the new
That's year. Awesome.
Yeah. She's excited. I'm excited.
There's a lot of good people watching there, too.
Yeah, there's definitely good people watching there, too.
So, I mean, now that would be like something that I feel like I would do.
Like,
what does that cost to go to Soho? Can you hook up a car?
You gotta be a member.
I can't even, I don't even know if I get a guest list this time, because you have to be a member to even go.
I know one Soho-er.
Soho-er?
Yeah, but then you're hanging out at Soho House and that whole scene.
I mean, but it's really cool in there.
It is cool in there.
And we're doing a comedy show to bring in the new year.
But, like, everybody in there thinks they're so hip and they're always wearing those fancy clothes and they've got the skinny jeans. It's intense. But that's kind of big time that you're getting booked for that gig right there.
Thank you. Shout out to my mentor, Kevin Koval.
All right.
He's the realest.
Who?
Kevin Koval.
Koval.
Yeah.
You say Kevin Koval, I think Kevin Koval, who used to play for Northwestern. That's not who you're talking about.
Not at all.
847's texting, how long have I been dating Chelsea? 9 months, sir.
9 months. Man. Well, that's almost as long as I've been with my girlfriend.
Is it wrong to do an old town school of folk over the Rhine and dinner? Is that nice, or is that like too, like, I'm 78 years old? Is that too 78 years old-y?
I don't even know what you said.
Have you ever heard of Over the Rhine? They're great. I really enjoy the band.
I mean, is she into that?
Yeah, she likes them.
Well, then...
Then you do it.
Yeah,
I mean, me and Esmeralda have no idea what that is. Yeah. But, I mean, if she's into it, go for it.
Pull up an Over the Rhine tune. Play it. Give me some Over the Rhine.
Over the Rhine?
Oh, yes.
Maybe you could throw it into your DJ set.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to fit.
You don't want to do that. It's so awesome. I'll have a meltdown over there.
Over the Rhine?
Hey, Carm, have you been to the Uptown Underground? My pals are checking out a disco-themed burlesque show. Would be an unforgettable first New Year's Eve together.
That's I actually support that.
I mean, that sounds cool.
Is this Over the Rhine?
Sure is.
I found it.
Does this not feel like a great New Year's right here?
Not at all. No.
Holding hands?
Do they give you a blanket and a pillow?
Then they accuse you.
Tuck you in?
Pretty much.
1201 lights out.
It's a husband and wife singer songwriter team situation. They're from Ohio.
Hello, Ohio.
There you go. Hello, Ohio.
Wow.
She's beautiful for the record.
If that's what you're into, then go for it.
I like to go deep. Get a little Hello, Ohio going on.
I don't know,
but I think that's kind of like a lame choice. Maybe I gotta do something a little bit more fun, burlesque style. I don't even know what is a burlesque show?
It's like,
I mean, are they naked?
No, they're not naked.
They're not naked.
It's very like promiscuous, but they're...
Promiscuous, but not naked. Nude.
Yes. Exactly. You got it.
So there's suggestive dances type of thing going on.
Not always. Sometimes. Depends on what kind of burlesque.
You just said you've flown like three times in your life, but you know this burlesque show down. How many burlesque shows have you seen?
Like three or four.
Wow. It's aggressive.
Aggressive? Wow.
I mean, I think it's aggressive. Have you been to three, four burlesque shows, Esmeralda?
I have been to a couple.
And how would you describe a burlesque show?
Yeah, I would say it's like that. I mean, it really depends because a lot of them have themes.
Right.
If you think, well, what's her name? Do you know her name? Because Sarah, the one who, she like dances in that big old martini glass. She's like one of the famous burlesque dancers.
Oh, I don't know her name though.
Dita Von Teese.
There we go. Have you seen the music video for Lady Marmalade with Christina Aguilera and Lil' Kim in it?
Yeah, there you
go. That is burlesque.
All right.
That's like a very...
Did you hook that up on the old email train?
I'll send it to you. I'll send you the link.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
That's a very...
Give you an idea.
Like the layman, yeah, the very basic of a burlesque.
I gotta be transparent here. I'm trying to learn. I'm looking for options.
I appreciate it.
This is what the deal is.
Link is coming over to you now.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
What's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this?
I love her. She's awesome. That voice is just so distinct. It's so sexy. There's a word. 312-981-7200. Who's got a good New Year's plan? Who's strategized well this year? Who's used New Year's to their benefit?
You know what? My family does, I mean, I don't know how deep in the relationship you two are, but something that a lot of people do is they'll do like a water park thing where like these different water parks like Wisconsin Dells or like I know Utica, Illinois has the Grand Bear Resort. They're doing something where you pay and they serve you food like four times throughout the night. They have DJs and they have like different things in the water park.
I mean, that's just a huge production. Now I gotta drive somewhere, I'm in a water park, I'm getting fed four times.
It's like a vacation for New Year's. You are entertained, you can choose what you want to do. You can do like a nice dinner, like a busy dinner, you can go to the water park or the hot tub.
I mean,
options.
It's all good, I think one thing I failed to mention is I'm working on New Year's until 6.
You need to mention that, that's important.
That's a factor, so I'm working until 6. Final show happen will be with Kaz as the Bears wrap up their season. So I'm busy till 6, and then I got to jump into it. So I can't go on a long trip. What about a Concord Music Hall, 2047 North Milwaukee? Does this sound fun?
No.
Who's performing? It depends.
Well, I'm just saying, if you like your rinds over whatever, you're not going to dig whatever's at Concord.
Over the Rhine. Esmeralda.
Okay. The Rhine.
Rhines on whatever.
The Logan Square venue, as they write in the Tribune, is promising short waits and it's many bars, so you can take advantage of the premium drink package and still have plenty of time to dance to music from Vic Menza, don't know who that is, Riff Raff, don't know who that
Riff
is.
Raff. Oh, no.
Oh, no. You're not going to.
I'm out.
No.
Cancel that.
All right, how about Pork Chop? 941 West Randolph. The barbecue joints South Loop, Hyde Park, and West Loop locations are all turning into Blind Pig speakeasies for the night with Prohibition-themed parties featuring an open bar, sliders, wings, elotes, cornbread, plus party favors, and a whiskey toast at midnight.
Prohibition theme.
That's nice.
Is that? I think you get
to dress up, I wonder?
I mean, yeah. I think you can.
I had the Pork Chop earlier today for lunch, and they have really good food.
There you go.
So the food is good. I can attest to that.
Well, I wonder if you get to dress up like in the Prohibition era.
Right.
I don't know if that's...
Now you got to find a costume, and that's extra.
My slight thing going on there is, too, I don't know if that's quite of the romantic nature, perhaps, that you look for on a New Year's. 847 is texting, Carm, why don't you ask Chelsea what she had in mind to do, then try to second-guess what
to
do?
That's true. You could just ask her.
Yeah, did you ask her yet? Well, you have us... guessing what to do.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, if I ask, that takes away. I think that then there's no mystery.
It's how you ask.
Okay, how do you ask?
You ask like, hey, so like, what did you ideally have in mind for New Year's?
What's your vision for New Year's?
Don't flat out ask like, so what do you want to do? Because then it's like you don't care. You didn't put any effort into it.
But why has it gotta be a mystery?
Yeah, this is true.
I think it's more fun when somebody's putting a lot of effort and care.
If you like it. Because if you put all this effort and care and then she doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's a waste.
Right.
501 says, dinner and Patty's show and buy your girlfriend a really nice New Year's Eve tiara.
Tiara?
T-I-A-R-A.
Oh, with diamonds?
Is that what that is?
A tiara.
You know, like the thing they wear on their, like a crown.
Yeah, like princesses.
I've never seen any people walk around wearing tiara. I mean, I have, but they're like the plastic ones that fall off by like 11:30. They don't have it for midnight.
Yeah, I'm not buying any tiaras. That's not happening.
Go to the dollar store and buy yourself the hat and buy her the tiara.
I mean, I think Patty's show sounds awesome. That sounds like a great time.
And then you got the choice.
Because
they got the early one.
Right. But then I know people, and there's that going on. It's not
What's
just
wrong
us.
With knowing people?
Right? Jeez.
Right, God. That makes it super easy, because then that makes you look famous, because
cool.
Now you're cool, because you're well-known at this event you're going to ring in New Year's.
She already knows both that I'm not cool and... You know, all that.
Well, then don't try so hard to go to somewhere cool.
Right. Because be yourself.
She already knows you're not cool.
Right. She knows you're lame. Then just be lame. It's okay.
What about the Public House Theater? Catch a performance of the booze-infused sketch comedy Bye Bye Liver and hang out.
No. It's canceled already. Just by the name, it's done. That's a no.
What about the Headquarters Beercade?
Do you like playing video games?
I do like playing video
games.
Does
she like playing video games?
Yeah, no, that's not going to work.
All right, then.
Well,
no.
What about the Promontory?
What's going on there?
Their Party Noir transforms the Hyde Park Spark.
It's Black Metropolis, Party Noir. Tickets are $75 right now if you get them in advance.
Afro-futuristic Black Metropolis, as you just said, yes. DJ Ray Chardonnay.
Yes, that's my friend. Probably won't work... But still a great event to go to.
Solid event, huh?
It's a very solid event. They have a monthly event every month. They try to do at least 1 to 2 day parties. And they are fantastic.
So, Sarah, you're like dialed in. You're flat out.
Dialed in.
You're on, right? Is that an old term? Is that
kind
of. Esmeralda, is that old?
The updated term would be that I'm the plug.
You're the plug?
Yeah, that's the updated term. Like, you're the plug.
You're the plug.
Right.
That means you're...
Dialed in.
You're dialed
in. Synonymous, yes.
You're the plug.
Right.
Why can't I be cool like Kassara? That's...
Because you're not dialed in.
You literally... Esmeralda just like... I don't know what even that reaction was. She like fell back from the microphone just like laughing at my patheticness. I didn't even think dialed in was an old saying at all.
So would her... It's older. It's not too old. I knew what it was, so it's not too old.
It's also how you
say. How old are you?
22.
You're 22. Of course you are.
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, it means you're half my age. It's a painful moment in time, but that's great.
Sorry.
I wish I was 22.
You don't look that old.
God bless you. You have no idea what that just did for me. I just, that really just...
Okay, well, now that I know your age, let's see.
What about Henry's? Pick your favorite color or how much you're looking to spend on booze and go for one of the River North Bar's three bottomless drink packages.
No, you don't want to go to...
You don't want to go to River North.
Definitely don't want to go to River North.
Do you want to go to River North on a regular Saturday night?
Not really, no.
Then you don't want to go on New Year's.
But yeah, no, you definitely don't go there on New Year's.
Thing about River North, though, is, you know, you're close to the station, you can say hello.
So you can hide out?
Right.
Sure.
So you can disappear?
Right.
No, don't go. Right. Not that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Not that.
River North, no. No, no.
Okay. Well,
I feel like it's doubly worse.
A lot of River North hate going on here.
I mean, hate, like I said, caution. Have you been on a Saturday night, just walked down the street?
I mean, I've lived a dream on a... Sure.
It's,
absolutely.
It's quite a scene.
Okay.
That it is.
All right, let's get into the newsroom here. 1:31. I don't think I solved anything, but I maybe did.
We gave you so much advice.
Did you?
Just ask her.
Yeah. Oh, and we also told you what not to do.
Right. So that narrowed it down as to what you can possibly do when you find more options.
All right. All right. I'm going to listen back to the podcast here of the show. And the person that's texting from the 7-3 with a very aggressive suggestion. That is not how I roll, bro. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, 720 WGN. My name is Mark Carmen as we continue on. This is kind of a WGN Chicago's very own story right here. Brandon Moore is the coach for Olivet Harvey's men's basketball team, who is off to a great start, ranked in the NCAA's Division II poll. And, Coach, you got yourself quite a team, and you got a lot of guys who are some special stories that we want to tell people about today. First of all, congratulations on the success so far this season, and thanks for joining us. Happy holidays to you.
Well, thank you, and thank you guys for having me. Happy holidays to you as well. We've really been having a great season, and it's great to get some recognition.
So you're playing in the City Colleges League here, right? And
yes.
You guys, you don't charge for fans to come out. And your standard kids. Tell me about the type of kids that you have on your team, Coach. They're not on the full scholarship. They're not staying in some posh dorms, and they're just out there to get an education and hopefully play some basketball as well.
Sure, our kids are what I like to call grinders. They are really sacrifice. Nothing fancy. Our kids are very dedicated in the classroom and on the basketball court. We don't get the kids that you see all the time and, you know, in the newspapers or, any McDonald's All-Americans, but we get guys who are very specific about being student athletes. And use basketball as a vehicle to pay for school for free. You know, we don't have dorms, we don't have full scholarships, but the city of Chicago, they do help us out tuition waivers and a lot of support, and that's why we're able to keep the kids eligible and while they're playing ball.
So most of your kids that are coming to you, Coach, their goal is to do well and play on the next level as far as get to a D1 or whatever, you know, get to a 4-year college. Is that the general goal?
Yes, the goal is to come to us, a city college where it's not very expensive to go, but it's also a high level of basketball and it's a lot of visibility. So kids are kind of betting on themselves a little bit, meaning that they can come to a JUCO and a place like City Colleges, do well for 2 years, leave with your associate's degree, and then make themselves more marketable to a 4-year program. The dream for all kids is to play Division I, but once we get kids in our program, at that point, they just want to play at the next level for free. And this is the type of thing that can showcase them as a student and as an athlete, where 4-year programs at all levels, NAIA, NCAA, Division I, II, and III, can see that, okay, this kid is already a good student, he's got half of his degree done, and he's a good ball player. And then the school will want to invest a scholarship in him.
Brandon Moore, the head coach at Olive Harvey, which is a part of the City Colleges of Chicago. If you want to check it out online just to learn more, ccc.edu, or if you're looking more specifically in the athletic side, ccc.edu/athletics, and then 773-COLLEGE. Coach, when a kid comes to you, I mean, how do you normally find the guys that are on your team? Are they seeking you out? Are you finding them? How does that go?
Well, it's a little bit of both. It's definitely more of me seeking the kids out. I work hard as far as recruiting is concerned, not just going to games, which is a part of it, but getting to know the kid. I talk to teachers, I talk to coaches, and I've been doing this for so long, I really know a lot of people in the area, and they can tell me not only is the kid a good basketball player, but the type of kid that can handle the academic load and play at a high level. So I get out to games, all the holiday tournaments. I even use recruiting tools online. And, you know, I definitely go after kids. I don't have to recruit as many kids as say, a four-year school that might have a varsity and a JV team. But every year I go out to try to keep around 15 kids in the program. And so many kids are looking to play that it's easy to get them. But it's the hard part is deciding, are they going to be good enough in the classroom to meet our standards, which are pretty high.
So along those lines, I'm assuming that you got a lot of kids who don't have the best educational background and need to learn study habits, and maybe they have the want, but they don't have the foundation that, say, a kid mm-hmm. growing up in the suburbs perhaps would have. So how do you balance, definitely, you know, figuring out and just assessing whether a kid, you know, wants to actually do the best they can and provide that platform for them?
Well, I think it's like you just said, we have to find the kids that really want it. Some of our kids that come in are not the greatest students, but if they have that work ethic and they really want to be good students, then we can provide the help that they need to get them over the hump as far as going from an average student to a good student that can graduate with an associate's degree. So if we get a kid from a CPS school, like we have a kid right now on our team, Kendrick Robinson from Harper High School, he's an average student, but he works so hard in class and he doesn't have any issues as far as going to school or turning in work. Now, with the City Colleges, we can use our resources to help them. We have extended study halls. We have tutoring programs. And everybody at CCC and at Olive Harvey's campus is so helpful that as long as the kid really wants to do it, he can get the help that he needs to make him the type of student that could not only finish at a CCC school, but also finish his bachelor's degree once he's ready to move on to a four-year school.
Brandon Moore, head coach, Olive Harvey, which is a part of the City Colleges of Chicago. You mentioned Kendrick, and I think the story with him, like so many of your guys, his mom passed away recently, a couple of years ago now, and he's living with his brother and doing the best he can to go to school, play basketball, and get himself to the next level. I mean, there's always a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yes, definitely. And Kendrick's a great kid, and his mother was just really the rock of the family. And she passed away unexpectedly a couple years ago, and things have been rough for Kendrick. He's a great kid. He really loves to play, and he really wants to use this as a way to get his degree for free and start to take care of himself. Right now he's living in an apartment with his brother, and his brother has a wife and four kids himself. So it's tight. I mean, Kendrick's a 6'5" guy, you know, so it's rough on him being in a such a tight space, and the money's low, and so, you know, he really finds his outlet in the classroom and on the court, and he gives maximum effort every day, and he's the type of kid that you root for, because he really does. He doesn't have the same advantages that a lot of kids have, but he doesn't care. You know, he doesn't use it as an excuse. He uses it as fuel to get him where he needs to go. So I'm definitely rooting for him as well. He's been doing a great job for us so far.
A kid like that, is he allowed to work with NCAA rules? Because obviously he could use some dough, and I mean time is short too here. But what's the rules with that, Coach?
Well, that's a very, very slippery slope. It is not against the rules to work, but at the same time he's so busy with classwork and basketball, he doesn't get a chance to work, so he has to be really smart about the money that he would get from financial aid. All our kids are pretty much full Pell Grant kids.
Okay.
So we have to kind of make that money last.
I see. Let's talk about your, I guess, your highest performing player. That's Darius Oliver, right, out of Leo High School. He's getting some looks, I guess, the Loyola, Chicago State, some other schools, North Carolina Central, University of Maryland, Baltimore, are interested in Darius.
Yes, he is a very talented kid. He's definitely a Division I basketball player. Comes from a great background, great family. He actually, as a senior at Leo a couple years ago, they played in the state championship game. So, and if you know anything about Leo, it's a very, very big program, a lot of great history, but you're talking about 200 kids in the school. And he led them all the way to the state championship game. Very good academically, and he's going to make some coach very happy.
How does a guy like that end up with you at Olive Harvey, Coach?
Well, a lot of times we get what I like to call the rebound kid or a second chance kid. Kids in Chicago, a lot of times, the first thing that they want to do is get out of Chicago. And sometimes these kids will go somewhere else to a big, nice school with a fancy campus and dorms and meal plans. And they get there for a semester, they realize, you know what, I'm not happy. And they come home and say, oh, you know, Coach Moore recruited me in high school. This is close to home. My family and friends can see me play. I'm more comfortable. And I kind of get him on the rebound or the second chance. And that's the same thing that happened with Darius. He went to Kirkwood CC, which actually just won the national championship the year before. And he got there, and he just didn't like it. And he came home and contacted me, and you know, I was more than happy to welcome him to the program. And a lot of times people don't understand that just because a kid graduates high school, it doesn't mean he's ready to go away for college. I think sometimes people will just say, oh, he's 18, you know, it's okay for him to go away to school. Sometimes kids need that year or two at home after high school, I should say, and it prepares them to get ready to go to a four-year school and be more ready to go.
See, that's what I was thinking, too, you know, hearing that story. Your job there is to welcome them back in, but then you also have to build them up to go back out into the world, right?
Definitely. The kids coming back already apprehensive about leaving home, and so I have to prepare them to leave home again. So I think that our team and our school is so close-knit, professors, administration, staff. Everybody cares about these kids. So the love and the closeness that they had in high school that they missed when they left for the different community college, they get it again when they come back home to City College in Chicago. And it brings them back to a point where they can trust again. And then they're ready to move on to a four-year school.
Brandon Moore, head coach, Olive Harvey. So you're a coach. You play a little father figure every now and then. Sometimes you got to... I guess be guidance counselor too. You got a lot on your plate here, Coach.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot of jobs that go into it, and it's the type of thing that if you love it, it's an easy job. And you know, for me, you know, I'm a teacher is my regular job, so it's just a continuation of that. I teach at a junior high on the west side, and so this is the same thing, just kids are a little older and have a little more adult problems, but the guys are so, you want them to succeed so bad that you don't mind extending yourself for them. And not only me, but my assistant coach Ron White and our athletic director Anthony Binion, just everybody at the school, our president Felicia Davis and our dean of students Michelle Adams, everybody's involved in these kids' lives, so they really feel like they have the support. And so even though I do a lot of jobs and wear a lot of hats, I definitely have a lot of support.
And you've got a really important position, Coach. You're giving back, and it sounds like you love it. All of it's awesome. You guys have home games coming up January 8th, 11th, 13th, 16th. 1001 South Woodlawn Avenue, Chicago. So you can come out and see Olive Harvey play. Price is Right, which is free, team.
That's right. I see a high level of college basketball in the neighborhood, and it's free. Kids enjoy our games, interactive. We have nice halftime shows and giveaways. And, you know, sometimes you can't afford that $35-$40 to go to a Division One basketball game and buy a hot dog and buy a tea. It's expensive. So City College makes it free. Another way to give to the community and outreach to people who want to see that at a high level. They make it free, and hey, you can't ask for anything better than that.
Brandon, Coach, appreciate your time, and really appreciate what you're doing with your guys and giving them the best chance to be successful in life. It's super awesome, and it's just a great story to hear. So congrats and happy holidays, and hope you guys win a ton of games and go deep into the tournament this year. Have a ton of fun.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and we're going to keep going. Happy holidays. And really appreciate you guys giving us a chance to get some exposure for these kids.
It's most definitely my pleasure. Coach Brandon Moore, Olive Harvey College on 720 WGN. Thanks to Brandon Moore, my new favorite college basketball coach outside of Chris Collins, maybe Porter Moser at Loyola as well. 720 WGN, we are in the middle of a double shift here, and so I'm going to do transition with my co-host, sidecar, hero in life, who is going to be sitting here until 5 in the morning. He's looking around. John the Coach Cone, who gave me my start in radio, sort of, kind of, definitely around there. And in 1998, with the Naked Truth About Sports, and you are a radio veteran. You're a man who hosted a sports show in this town for, what, 15 years?
The Morning Break radio show, about 8 years.
Morning Break was 8 years.
Give or take.
And the Naked Truth was a year?
One illustrious year.
So we got at least 9 years of experience here.
WCBR 92.7, right? Remember that?
847-818-9227. Yes, of course. Come on. It was a morning show from 5 in the morning till 9, right? And we had a car that didn't run.
You did the 5 o'clock till 5:30, half hour, like pregame?
Yeah,
that was arguably some of the finest early morning radio in Chicago modern history.
You had a brilliant idea. You had a brilliant idea that we would create a highlight package from the show the day prior.
Yes.
And
actually, it was brilliant only in the fact that I got an extra half an hour of sleep. So
right.
I thought it was brilliant.
You're like, let's replay yesterday's highlights. Which, for my production skills, took like 7 hours to put together.
Take it easy.
It was myself. I mean, and then I was supposed to like inflect some commentary around it.
But you're forgetting you also co-hosted it, right? With a blind.
Oh yeah, Bob Greenberg.
Famous sports reporter Bob Greenberg. Some of our young listeners might not be aware of the uniqueness of Bob Greenberg. Truly, a blind sports reporter in Chicago, longtime guy.
Yeah, I believe did Bob Greenberg pass away?
He did pass away about 3 years ago.
Okay, then I feel like free that I could tell the story. Bob Greenberg was a diehard White Sox fan.
There could be Greenberg relatives listening right now, so be careful.
This is true. But so Bob Greenberg loved the White Sox. And that year, the Cubs and Sox played each other in the Crosstown Series at Wrigley Field. And it was 98, and that was a Cubs team with Sammy that went to the playoffs, and the White Sox stunk, and the Cubs swept them. And I turned on my Radio Shack $5 recorder as I was waiting to get into the clubhouse. And all of the Cubs fans were coming down the ramp, and they were just screaming, "White Sox suck, White Sox suck." So he would do his sports updates, and I would play the White Sox suck chant underneath him as he was talking, and he would get so incredibly angry. And I don't know if you remember this, but one day you called me into the office after the show. "Look, Greenberg's really upset. Can you not play the White Sox suck under Bob while he's trying to give a sports report?"
I do not remember that, but that's a classic example of how that was some of the finest 5 a.m. to 5:30 radio back in. When was that,
98.
How do you remember the year?
Well, I mean, come on. How do I remember the year? I remember the year simply because the best thing about being on that show, outside of learning incredible radio techniques from yourself, John the Coach Cone, and Seth Marks, was that I got to cover the Bulls in Jordan's last year. So, and that was 98.
Naked Truth About Sports. That was truly a great show. And then we were ready to roll into year two, and new ownership came in, who guaranteed and promised up, don't worry, guys, everything's going to be fine, the show will continue. And then one Friday, they gathered us all together and informed us.
It was all over?
It's over.
Yeah, but that's, and then you headed to do overnights at WSCR.
Yep.
And then
Coach and the Kid.
The Coach and the Kid.
If we have any Coach and the Kid listeners out there.
I'm sure.
Still a couple wandering the streets of Chicago here at 1:58 in the morning.
312-981-7200 memories of Coach and the Kid are, if you'd like to weigh in on that, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And then you did the morning break at 12:40.
Cast of characters.
Yes. A very eclectic group of radio talent. Of which I did a 1 year of the show with you.
And then what did we do? Push you out?
You fired me. My attitude was terrible. I deserved it. I came in there every day because I couldn't take it. The show before us was in Russian. The show after us was in Yugoslavian. And
don't forget the Neil Tesser Jazz Hour.
Yes. And, we had no listeners. And by none, I do believe we had none. I know that you built it greatly once I left. I think I was at least 96% of the problem. But,
our motto was best show on radio. All we need is listeners.
Right. And it was a significant challenge. But you're my mentor, and I've wanted to have you in for a while. So tonight's the night, Coach. We get to live the dream here.
Well, I appreciate that, and I was complimenting you off air on how effective and how good you are now on Sports Talk Radio. Thoroughly enjoy listening to the weekend shows, your updates, and fascinating interviews like the one you just did with Brendan who from Olivet Nazarene?
His name is Brandon Moore.
Brandon Moore, yeah.
At Olivet Harvey.
That's good stuff. Cool. I got into it.
There you go. Yeah, well, you know, we're doing what we can here. I appreciate the compliment. You, of course, have been a long-time actual coach. Like, you actually have real coaching pedigree.
Yes.
While we're going to start the show with coming up here after the 2 o'clock news with a major story that's breaking out about physical education and it being taken away from the youth of America and specifically the youth of this city and the suburbs. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that, Coach.
You want to get my thoughts now or when we come back?
We're going to do a full radio tease here.
It is. Sad commentary, but it's been going on for a while. But, happy to talk about
it. I want solutions. I know you have them. You see where when there's darkness, you see light. Where there's... Yes?
It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm looking
just
for.
Just think you got to put up with me for three more hours. No. Carmen is already regretting inviting me.
No, this is going to be the greatest 3 hours of radio or 5 minutes that you listen to during your holiday season, which, by the way, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, everything that you do. What do you call your religion over there? You have your own.
Yes. Well, I invented my own religion way back when. Moped. M-O-P-E-D, my own, practiced every day.
Which is what? What's your moped?
Shows over at 5. I can't get into everything, but basically the philosophy behind it is I don't need any one particular formal religion to tell me what to believe and what to believe in. I take bits and pieces from everyone.
So you're part Buddhist, you're part... right?
A little bit.
The Buddhists I think they might be my favorite. They're all about being present.
Nothing wrong with the Buddha.
They do a great job. Absolutely. This is Chicago's very own.